Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you've joined us, and this day is a gift from God. We are here to offer thanks and to celebrate the giver. Good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this Palm Passion Sunday. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you've just begun attending or this is your first time, perhaps we want to extend an invitation for you to become a part of our family of faith here. Now, one way to do that, of course, is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. We have a bulletin insert that outlines lots of opportunities for you to do that. I'm going to list just a few here. First of all, since it is Holy Week, we have some additional services that are extremely significant as we approach this coming Sunday and our Easter celebration. First of all, on this coming Thursday, we have a service at 7:30 here in the sanctuary. On Good Friday, we have a service at noon here in the sanctuary. And you can read more about those services in your bulletin insert. Next Sunday, of course, we have our services at our regular times, although a few more people may be here than usual. And we have an Easter brunch in between. So we hope you'll join us for a worship service and for the brunch as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and God's defeat of even death. Because we expect larger crowds than usual, we would invite any of you who possibly can to take advantage of our arrangement with the Caterpillar parking garage. It's off of Hayes Street. It's easy to enter there. I parked there this morning, no problem whatsoever. And if you can walk that far, and if you're familiar enough to park there, it's always helpful to do so because the folks who are coming may not know to park there, or some folks may not be able to walk that far, even though it isn't a great distance, and we want to save close parking spaces for them if we can. So let me encourage you to park in the Caterpillar parking garage next Sunday, if at all possible. And then we have our Bedrock Belief t-shirts for sale. That Bedrock Belief is that God loves everyone unconditionally. And you can find them in Reed Hall today. You can order them. We have two types of shirts this year, a tri-blend shirt and a 100% polyester shirt if you like a shirt for running or working out. There are also child sizes in the tri-blend shirt. So you can go out and take a look at those and order those. Believe me, they will start lots of conversations if you wear them. Did you ever know of anyone through whom God's love just overflowed? Well, I mean, of course, there's Jesus, who was filled with God's love, was God's love, and through whom God's love overflowed. But there are people in our lives as well, through whom that love of God just pours out in great abundance. We're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Thank you. prepared the way. Look, he is coming. Open your hearts to receive the Savior. The road is long, and we often stumble and fall along the way. Sin waits for us, but God is present to hear our cries. Let us now join together in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that we often fail to see things as they really are. We celebrate our own victories and turn our backs on those who hate us. We rejoice in the resurrection. Forgive us, God, and open our eyes to see the suffering of your pain. Give us courage to stay with you through all our children. May not allow any of your children to be left behind us. Though we have sinned, God's love still reaches us. God has forgiven us and set us free to walk the road ahead. And thanks be to God, we are never alone on the journey. Amen. Let us now pray together the prayer for illumination for Palm Sunday. Holy God, waken our ears to your voice. Teach us to listen and not turn backwards. Speak to us through your love on the cross, that we may know your mercy, freely given, and show to all the world the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. And now a lesson from the Gospel. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And now a lesson from the epistle. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, Father, of us, Lord, have mercy.
seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, come on down, bring a parent, a grandparent, a friend. It's perfectly okay. And before we do our children's time, I want to introduce all of you to my friend Eric Gamble, who has the announcement that everyone here has been waiting for. He's representing our Staff Parish Relations Committee. Eric?
Good morning, everybody. I have a feeling this won't be quite as dramatic as early services. Many of you probably seem to know what I'm about to say. But the bishop has given me a script, and I shall read it. As many of you are aware, Bishop McAlealy and the Nashville Area Cabinet of the Tennessee-Memphis Conference have worked prayerfully this week to make missional appointments to every church in our annual conference. It is my job, as the chair of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, to inform you of the transitions that will be occurring at West End. As we all know, our senior pastor, Michael Williams, will be moving on to new and exciting adventures this summer. While we will sorely miss his wisdom, his stories, and his leadership, we're also very excited for him. We know that he now has the opportunity to continue his ministry in other ways and to continue to pursue his many passions. Coming to West End to fill the senior position is Carol Cavan Dillon, who is coming to us from Christ United Methodist Church in Franklin, Tennessee. Reverend Cavan Dillon has served at Christ UMC since 2003 and has been lead pastor there since 2009. She's a Nashville native who received her undergraduate degree from Duke University and her Master of Divinity degree from the Chandler School of Theology at Emory University. Arriving with her will be her husband David and her two children, Tate, who is 15, and Martha, who is 12. Now, not only are we receiving one new pastor this summer, but we're actually receiving two. As it turns out, Eric Allen and his, or Chris Allen and his wife Erica, have been given an exciting opportunity to be co-pastors at a new church plant in Florida. Not only is this very exciting for them professionally, but it also allows them to be close to family, with which a new baby at home will be extremely beneficial. We're very grateful to Chris for all of his service at West End, and we'll be praying for his family's continued success on their new adventure. Serving in Chris's role will be Brandon Baxter, who comes to us from Glendale United Methodist. Brandon received his Master of Divinity degree at Vanderbilt and has been serving recently as Glendale's lead preaching pastor. Arriving with him will be his wife Carol and their two children, Emerson, age 8, and Miriam, who is 6. Our new pastors and their families were all set to join West End officially on July 2nd, so that will be their first Sunday here. In the meantime, the SPRC and our newly formed transition team will be doing everything possible to ensure that the transition goes smoothly. We ask for your continued prayers for our committees, our staff, our congregation, and our new families as we work together to ensure that West End continues to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond. The bishop has asked each church in the conference who's receiving leadership changes to join each other in the following prayer, so if you'll pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior, we give you thanks for our church. It is a gift of grace to us. We are deeply grateful for the leadership of Michael and Chris, who have served as our pastors, our teachers, our leaders, and friends in Christ. May your grace abound upon them and their families in the spiritual adventure that lies ahead. As Carol and Brandon come to be our next pastors, we pray for them. May your grace abound in their lives, giving peace and joy and confidence in this new beginning. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts that you have for us in these days, as we give thanks for what has been and anticipate what will be. Our life is in you, O God, and through the Holy Spirit we pray this day. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. Now, as most of you already know, at this summer I am going to stop being your senior pastor in this particular role, and I'm going to teach and write and tell stories and do some other things. And I am so excited that my friend, Carol Cavan Dillon, is going to be coming in to take this place, to tell you stories, to preach here in the church, and to lead the church. I have known her for over 20 years, and she is absolutely great. And I don't know Brandon Baxter as well, but I'm very excited that you are getting a young and smart and excited person. I know his mother and have known her for many, many years, and she's great. So I'm excited for you all. And, you know, change is hard. Change is always hard. And it's hard, especially, I think, for adults. You all are more used to it because in school, you change teachers every year, don't you? You'll have a teacher for a year and you'll learn from them. And then they don't just keep going up the grades with you, not usually, maybe some do, but usually the next year you'll go to another teacher. Now your teacher this year still loves you and thinks you're wonderful, but she or he is really excited that you're gonna have a new teacher next year and you're gonna learn even more. That's kind of the way it is with United Methodists. We are all, I'll still love you, I'll always love you, but I'm really excited that you're gonna have Carol to love and to get to know and to learn from. And so, you know, the great thing about God's love is that it's not small. It's not just for a couple of people or for one small group. God's love is so big that it can include everybody, which means that you don't have to stop loving me to love Carol. You can love her as much or more than you love me, and that's perfectly all right. And I'll keep loving you, and I'll be excited about all the things you're going to learn from her. Yes, sir.
I'm almost coming away from Edgewood because my birthday's at the end of this
year. Is that right? Wow. Wow. Yes, ma'am. Did you? Well, you know something about change already, don't you? So maybe you guys can help the adults, because it's a lot harder for us sometimes. You just tell them, I know what it's like. I've been from one grade to the next, had different teachers, and it's just fine. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for getting us together and providing leaders for us and providing your love so that we can love so many people. Thank you for putting change in our life, because without change we couldn't grow. We couldn't learn more. Thank you for sending Carol and Brandon to be leaders here. I know that we'll look forward to getting to know them better, and that they will be your people in this place. And that's the most important thing, because they'll be sharing your love with all these wonderful people. And we know that your love is big enough to include us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. In most churches in Christendom, this Sunday is Palm Passion Sunday. But for a few select churches here in the Tennessee Conference and the Memphis Conference, and perhaps in others, it's really Announcement Sunday, Appointment Sunday. This is the announcement that you and I both have been waiting to hear. Who's going to be coming? What changes are going to be happening? I have one other appointment to announce as well. Our own Stacy David Heiser Gonzalez, who's leading worship with us today and has served with us for, what, 5 years around, will be going to serve as the associate pastor at First United Methodist Church in Columbia, Tennessee, a position that I served in from 1980 to 84. So I'm really excited for her and for them as well. Change is a part of life, you know? And I could not be more excited that Carol Cavendillen is going to be coming here. I've known Carol for more than 20 years since she came into the conference. I was her brother's pastor, his family's pastor. I knew her dad. And so I'm really, really excited about the gifts that she's going to be bringing to this place and to you. And I'm excited about the gifts that you are going to be bringing to her as well. Now, I don't know Brandon as well. I've known his mom for many years, and she's a wonderful colleague and friend. But I know he has experience, and he has the love of God in his heart. And he will be here to share that love with you, and you to share that love with him. And I am excited for all of you about that. Because you see, this is how our system works. It's how it's supposed to work. It's how it does work. And it works really well, I think. You really don't know much unless you happen to know these individuals about who you're getting. But you know what? You didn't know much about that tall, white, bearded kid who grew up in a trailer who told stories when I got here, did you? Besides which, he didn't even stand in the pulpit. And you all have embraced me with your love, and believe me, if you embrace Carol and Brandon with that same spirit, they can't help but be successful, and you can't help but be successful. Now that we've got the announcement part out of the way, let's talk a little bit about the Palm Sunday part, because I really do think these texts that you heard Stacy read inform this very transition. The epistle text is from the letter to the Philippians. Paul is in prison. He is writing to a church that he helped to found. So he's no stranger to these folks. The very first people in this congregation were people that had responded to his preaching to become a part of this community in Philippi. It was primarily a Gentile church. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so it was one of his successes. In a Gentile city, he created a Gentile church following the Jewish God and a Jewish itinerant preacher named Jesus. A pretty remarkable thing when you consider it. But he's writing to them to encourage them. And the thing to note about how he begins this letter, it's a little different from the way that he begins other letters. He addresses every single group and person in the letter according to their relationship to Jesus Christ. Not according to their relationship to him, Paul. No. Or even according to their relationship to each other. He recognizes them in their relationship to Jesus. Even the bishops. That's supposed to be funny. You better laugh because it might get me into trouble. It is not by their standing in the church. It is not by their role in the church. It is not by who joined when he was the pastor there and who joined since then. It is simply by the fact that they have received God's overflow of love through Jesus Christ. And then he tells them that his prayer for them is that their love will overflow. That it will overflow with insight and discernment and wisdom and knowledge and all the other things that come when love begins to overflow. That it wouldn't just be contained within that Philippian community, but it would overflow outside that community to the whole world. Now, where does he get this idea about love overflowing? Well, I think you could say he might get it from the gospel text. When Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem, God's love is overflowing into that city. God's love has overflowed from Jesus. Jesus is God's love in the flesh, and that love is overflowing as he comes into the city, not just for the people who are waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna, no, but for later in the week, when he gathers with his disciples and has a meal. He gathers with those people who he knows have betrayed him in one way or another, will desert him, will deny him, and he offers them his body and his blood, that love overflowing once again. And not just for his close friends and disciples either. For the people who are standing around shouting, "Crucify him!" Some of whom were shouting, "Hosanna!" a few days earlier. The love overflows even for them. And when the story takes us up the road carrying the crossbeam of a cross and seeing it placed and having spikes driven through his wrists and his feet and lifted high up, looking down on the very people who put him there, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The love overflowing even for those people who nailed him to a cross, who did to him the worst kind of torture that the Roman Empire could come up with. The forgiveness is even for them. God's love overflows for all. We say it on our t-shirts, don't we? God loves everyone unconditionally. Now, don't get me wrong. God doesn't particularly love everything we do to each other. We break God's heart all the time. God must weep at some of the things we do. But that does not diminish God's love, because our deeds do not control God's love. God loves because it is God's nature to love. And so when we take this journey with Jesus, you gotta ride before you rise. You have to ride through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to ride through the streets of Jerusalem. You have to ride through that Last Supper, through that crucifixion, before when Jesus takes all of the hatred and the hurt and the pain and the misery and the violence of the world into the tomb with him, and with those death clothes leaves it there and comes back to have these encounters with his disciples who have seen him die on a cross, witnessing to them that God has power over the Roman Empire, God has power over the religious establishment, God has power over death. But we have to take that journey to get there. And every step of the way, we are encountering God's overflowing love. And once they encounter him, having seen him killed, knowing he's dead, and then encountering him again, that love begins to overflow through his disciples. And that's our calling, our love overflowing. When I came here as a country kid, most of you didn't know much about me, but you embraced me with an overflow of love. And that is what has made this 7.5 years, in my view, successful. Every single staff person, whether appointed or hired, who comes here, their prayer is that God's love will overflow through them and touch your life in some way or another. I don't know of a single exception. And then your love overflows and embraces us with all of our gifts and all of our limitations. And when that happens, we become a successful church. Now, churches are measured as successful by a lot of different metrics. Usually it's numbers. Usually we send in reports about how many people are in worship, how many people are in classes. But you know what I think a successful church is? I think a successful church is a church where the love of God overflows from those in leadership, and that love of God overflows from the congregation back to them, to the extent that God's love overflows outside this congregation into the world in ways that literally transform the world. What if we received each person not in their relationship to us, but in their relationship to Jesus Christ, the way Paul did? What if you received Carol and Brandon that way, looking for what is of Christ in each of them, letting your love overflow toward them as it overflowed toward me, as it has overflowed toward others of us? God's love overflows from this church all the time. Every time you walk out of this building and go back into your lives, whether it's into your job, whether it's as you shop, whether it's in your home, wherever you are, you have the opportunity for God's love to overflow. We have the example in Jesus, the perfect example of God's love overflowing even to those who nailed him to a cross. Now, ours may not be able to extend that far, but our job is to have God's love extend as far as possible through us for others. And when leaders and congregations share in that, that's what I call a successful congregation. Because you see, no building, no matter how beautiful, can contain God's love. No denomination can contain God's love. No national boundaries can contain God's love. No skin color, language, race, ethnic background can contain God's love. God's love pervades the whole of creation, and we get to participate in that. We get to be a part of that great adventure in the world. And I have been a part of that with you for 7.5 years. Now, Carol and Brandon will come and get to join this wonderful staff, these wonderful colleagues, wonderful lay leaders, wonderful congregation, and they will get to do that too. Now, if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, I will be back someday. But Carol needs to have a chance to establish herself as your pastor before I do that. She was very sweet. We were on the phone when I learned this, and after I learned this, and I told her I would be away for a while, and she said, oh, I was looking forward to being colleagues. She seemed genuine. Well, I look forward to that too, one day. But she will be your lead pastor. She will be your senior pastor. And she needs to have that opportunity without me getting in the way. And I don't intend to. But if your love flows to her and to Brandon the way it did to me, she can't help but be successful. He can't help but be successful. You can't help but be successful. Because after all, that is the measure of success in the church, the overflow of God's love. And so my prayer for you and for the staff that is here and for the staff that is coming is that your love may overflow with all wisdom and discernment and intelligence and knowledge and grace and peace and all of the gifts that God's love brings. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, and sometimes we borrow words from Scripture. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 888 in your hymnal and join me as we affirm our faith through Scripture. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to be dwelt by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, I invite you to share signs of peace and love and reconciliation one with another. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have about this church and its ministries. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after our service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. If you are a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following this worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. We also invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Today, the rose on the communion table celebrates with John and Elizabeth McGuire and their son Liam the adoption of Lucy May. Lucy May was born in China and welcomed into the McGuire family on February the 27th. Today we also offer our sympathy to the family of Doug Doss, whose father passed away on April the 1st in Houston, Texas, and services were held there on April the 8th. Among his survivors, besides Doug, are his granddaughters Erin and Megan Doss. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Sisters and brothers, confident in God's love and mercy, let us pray for the world and for our needs to the one who is mighty to save. We pray for all leaders and people, that by the power of your cross, all violence, domination, and injustice in our world will be driven out as we are drawn closer to Christ. Guide those in power that their decisions may give rise to the mutual flourishing of the world you so love. We pray for our war-ravaged and violent world. Raise us to a new and rightly ordered world through the reconciling love of Christ, where all victims of violence, persecution, shame, or terror may stand together with you in peace. Enlighten us through your great mercy, O Lord, to care for your creation, to awaken us from our denial and abuse, and help us to alleviate its suffering. We pray that you will call the church to bear the fruit of action as we hear the cries of pain and suffering of those in need regarding health care, hunger, homelessness, education, and incarceration. We pray for the poor, the terrified, and the oppressed, and those who are too much alone, that they may find a home in you as we serve them in your name, compassionate God. As your Son Jesus anticipated his death in light of your steadfast love, may all who have died or are dying be at peace and rest in your eternal care. Enfold them in your love that they may rest and rise with Christ forever in his light. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we glorify you, Almighty God, with unending thanks and praise as we pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let the giving of God's tithes and our offerings be a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news of the gospel.
Thank you.
Now go forth with God's love overflowing through you into the world, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, whose love is over all creation, Jesus Christ, who was and is God's love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to love as God loves, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.